السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله النبي الأمي وعلى أصحابه وأزواجه وذريته ومن ولا. أما بعد، جزاكم الله خير، أسر الله أوقاتكم ونور قلوبكم عن الإيمان والإسلام والإحسان، وجعلنا وإياكم من الفائزين المفلحين بهذا الشهر الكريم المبارك، شهر رمضان، شهر القرآن وشهر أهل الله وخاصته، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. الحمد لله. We are firmly into the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan, and we will be looking at the 22nd or aspects of the 22nd juz, inshallah ta'ala, which encompasses Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Saba and Surah Fatir and part the beginning of Surah Yasin. So we're going to look specifically at Surah Fatir, وهي سورة مكية. It is a surah that was revealed in the Meccan period before the Hijrah and after Surah Al-Furqan, according to Sahib Tafsir al-Jalalain. And it begins with قوله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض، جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث ورباع، يزيد في الخلق ما يشاء، إن الله على كل شيء قدير، ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها، وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده، وهو العزيز الحكيم. So many surahs begin with Alhamd. Obviously, the one that we know the best is Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And Alhamd in general, when it has the Alif Lam in front of it, the ulama say that it is a categorical praise. So every category of praise, yani man al-jins, every category of praise that you can possibly imagine, all of that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's often translated as all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it says the praise. So as if what you know as praise is all due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the meaning when the Prophet said, لَا نُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ إِنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. We cannot properly praise you. You are to be praised as you praise yourself. So this one here in Surah Fatir, Alhamdulillah, فاطر السماوات والأرض. So the Fatir, which is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, is the one who creates something without any previous precedence of that thing. You know, and it's said that in one of the narrations that Ibn Abbas didn't get the most deepest and profound meaning of this word's Fatir until he saw a desert Bedouin build a well or dig a well. And he said, فَطَرْتُهَا فَطَرْتُهَا يعني I made it and there was no well there before. So it came like from zero, from scratch as it were. So here, the meaning here, خَلَقَ means to create, but here فَطَر has a shade of meaning that to create without any previous existence of that thing whatsoever. الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض, the one who made the سماوات والأرض. جاعل الملائكة, here this word ja'ala is different than fatara, is different than khalaqa. So al-ja'al, they said sayrura, to make something to something else, or to something that's already existing and then add something to it or make it in a particular way. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying ja'il al-mala'ika, the one who made the mala'ika, the angels, rusulan, messengers. And we think of the mala'ika or the angels as rusulillah ila rusulillah, the messengers of God to the messengers of God. So they're the go-between or the intermediary between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophets and messengers. So obviously, most notably, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, the archangel Jibreel, who was Malik al-Wahi. He's the angel of Wahi for all the prophets and certainly for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he made the angels, rusulan, messengers, uli ajniha. Uli ajniha, those of wings, mathna wa thulatha wa ruba', sometimes in two pairs or three or four. That's what this means here. And the Prophet ﷺ, most of the time when he encountered Jibreel alayhi salam, he saw him in the form of a man. His first encounter with him in Ghar Hira alayhi salam, he appeared in the form of a man, and a particular man known by Dahya al-Kalbi, one of the Sahaba, who was also known as an ambassador to different tribes and groups during the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. But he did see him after that in his true form, and he said, "Mala as-sama," that he filled the horizon, he filled the sky with his wings outstretched. And only prophets can possibly have access to that and see that. Whereas when he came in the form of a man, the Sahaba recognized him as Dahya al-Kalbi. He didn't look any different than a man. Bidalil, the hadith of Jibreel, often referred to hadith of Jibreel, or the hadith of Iman, Islam, and Ihsan. And they stated, Sayyidina Umar stated, that a man came and he had very black hair and very white clothes, yet he did not have any, nobody knew him, but he had no athar as-safar, he had no indication that he had been traveling, so where did he come from? And then at the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Hadha Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum dinakum, aw amra dinikum." This is Jibreel, he has come to teach you the matter of your deen or your deen. So the malaika are created from light, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uninterruptedly, they don't stop, ma yaftarun, as the Quran says, and they take and put into and execute that which Allah commands them to do. Those are the angels. يزيد في الخلق ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. So يزيد في الخلق, he increases in خلق, increases in creation in a matter that he wills. So there are many, many things we haven't seen that are of the alam al-malakut, that are of the other world, which we can safely say أزيد مما نراه في هذه الدنيا, more and greater than what we see in the dunya, in terms of creation, in terms of asnaf al-makhluqat also, in terms of the categories of things that are created, and also in terms of meanings. So the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that one part of 100 parts of mercy is for this life, and 99 of 100 parts of mercy is reserved for the next life, then this is an indication that even in terms of meanings, in terms of mercy, in terms of love, in terms of compassion, in terms of actually the utter reality of it, the next life is much, much more real in that sense than this life. يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah has power over all things, a reminder to us. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. So we're just speaking of rahmah, of mercy. That which Allah opens for anyone or for the people from mercy, فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. No one can prevent it. And here, loves al-Rahmah, am, and al-Fath, am. So, yaftah, opening. Opening of what? It's general. Opening of many things. Min Rahmah. Min Rahmah means something that is, that which is a ataya, that which is a gift to His creation. So, whatever Allah opens in terms of magnitude, right, in terms of quality, in terms of the mercy or the gift that's being given, no one can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from doing that. So, you know, the ulama, they tell us that that which is coming to you, no one can prevent it. You will never, your what is intended for you will not pass you by, right? It's always going to come to you. Why? Because the one who's sending it, the one who is opening it, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسَكَ لَهَا. No one can stop it. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسَلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. And the opposite is true. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ, and that which he holds back, فَلَا مُرْسَلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And that which is not supposed to come to you will never come to you. And no one can make it come to you. It's not meant for you to begin with. So it's a reminder, and timely reminder, that we should think about those things that we see that other people have, or that we may covet, or that we may think about, and we say, why us, why not me, why can't I have that? Well, because that's where we don't determine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines that. And we should just be concerned with the bestower and not the bestowal, with the mun'im and less concerned with the ni'mah. The ni'mah is a sign, the blessing itself is a sign, but sign of whom? The sign of al-mun'im. So we should be busy with the mun'im. And as long as the ni'mah is leading you to the mun'im, then it's a true ni'mah. then it's a true blessing. But if that which you consider, which you know to be ni'mah, leads you to someone other than the mun'im, leads you to other things, then it becomes a fitna. وَلَيْسَتْ نِعْمَةٍ فِي حَقِّقْ. And it's not a ni'mah as far as you're concerned. For someone else, maybe it could have been a blessing because it leads them to the mun'im, but for you, it's leading you to fitna. So it becomes a fitna, a trial and tribulation. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Right, and we talked about al-aziz, the one that cannot be stopped and the one whose will be executed. Al-Hakim, and then when he executes that will, it is most wise, it's Hakim. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, everything that he authors in this life and the next, is always Hakim, and it's always Mani'a bil-Hikam, and full of wisdom. Ya ayyuha an-nas udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. هل من خالق غير الله يرزقكم من السماء والأرض لا إله إلا هو فأنى تؤفكون. يا أيها الناس. So this is a Meccan surah. So يا أيها الناس, it's addressing the people in general. اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. Right, and here we came back to the ni'mah. Remember the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah upon you. Why? هل من خالق غير الله? This is put in the form of a question. Is there a creator other than Allah? يرزقكم من السماء والأرض, that sends your sustenance from the heavens, or from the heaven and the earth. And this is what we call a su'al, yani a question, but it's meant as an admonition. Yani, how can you deny that there is a creator other than Allah when the only one who has the ability to bring you anything from the sky or the heavens and the earth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illa hu. There is none but He. No God but He. Fa'anna tu'fakun. Anna, here we said, how and why and what. It's like a question of all different directions. Tu'fakun. You know, how could you deny that? How could you not recognize that? وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And now the khitab goes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as you can see, the Qur'an, it's challenging you to be aware of who it's speaking to directly. Before it was directly speaking, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. So it's calling upon us, everyone, all of the khalq, all of the creation. Here, وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ, though it didn't say يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيِّ, but one understanding of that is the Quranic address is so intimate already with the Prophet ﷺ. Like if I'm already in a conversation with you, I don't have to keep calling you to get your attention, because you're already at my attention, so I can just bring forth what I have. And that's the relationship with the Prophet ﷺ, with the Quran, obviously. وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ, right? And if they declare you to be a liar, or they don't believe what you have to say, this is what takdhib means. فَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. There were messengers before you who also the same thing happened to them. They were also not believed. So this is what's called at-tasliya, or solace. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ very much took it to heart. Right? لَعَلَّكَ بَيْخَ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Perhaps you're taking it so much to heart, yani, that they're not believing in your message. Right? And for no other reason than, yani, he wanted the good for them. He wanted the khair. These were his kinsmen. These were also members of his family, his extended family, and people that he grew up with, and people that he loved, and people that he had a mu'ashara, that he had a relationship with. And he wanted to see the best for them. And they didn't accept it. And also, they had accepted him his whole life. He was always known as a sadiq al-ameen. But then when he brings this da'wah, this mission, as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُكَذِّبُونَهُ. Right, and another verse in Surah Al-An'am, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. So how do we reconcile those two verses? Here it says, وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ, and if they don't believe you or declare you to be a liar, فَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. And here's ithbat. There have been messengers before you who are not believed either. Yet in Surah Al-An'am, فإنهم لا يكذبونك ولكن الظالمين بآيات لا يجحدون. لا يكذبونك. So that's a nafi. That's a negation. How we reconcile the two? One way to reconcile it is they are not يكذبونك in the sense of who you are, of your trustworthiness or of your honesty. And even when they were asked, they said, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْكَذِبِ. We never knew him to be a liar when the Quraysh were asked about that. But then what happened? وَلَكِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. It's not because they don't trust you and they think you're a liar, but بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. They can't accept what you're bringing. And that's why they don't believe you, or they don't want to accept what you have to say. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. So whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, the long day of this dunya, إِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Everything will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All matters, all affairs will be settled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Then the khitab comes back to the people. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq. And here the wa'd, al-wa'd al-mu'mineen bil-jannah wa wa'id al-kafirin bil-nar. This is haq. There's no way around it. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. So do not be deluded. And here تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِنُونِ التَّوْكِيد, يعني emphasizing. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not be deluded by the haya, the life of the dunya. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And do not be deluded and with your understanding of who Allah is by الغرور. Who is الغرور? الشيطان. Right? He is the deluder, that's one of his names. And these are the two external obstacles that we face in having forging for ourselves a more spiritual existence, a life of inner life, a strong inner life, a life of ma'rifah, a life of dhikr, and mahabbat liqa'illah, and loving to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life, not a love of death, but love of finally getting to be with the beloved in the next life. So what prevents us from seeing those, all those things? One of them is the ghurur of the dunya, right? The dunya is has many distractions about it, many delights, many things that can keep you quite busy for and distracted for years, decades, perhaps your whole lifetime. And that period of busyness that you're distracted by the dunya, that's called ghafla. It's kind of called a lapse, or lapse away from the dhikr, from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هذا ذكر. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوا بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Previous surah, Al-Ahzab. Have much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Him. بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, the two bookends of the day. So that you may not have lapse and ghafla between the two. And be wary of الغرور, الشيطان. Why? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Shaytan is an enemy of yours, so take him as an enemy. Do not be deceived by him. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ. Right, he invites his party. لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. That they may be from the companions of a sa'ir, of hellfire. He won't say that to us. He won't say, oh, come on, let's go to hellfire together. No. He will make tazyeen. Right, that's what he does. He adorns the batil. He adorns that which is corrupt, that which is ugly, that which is invalid, and tries to have you look at it in a different way. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Right, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Those who disbelieve will have a grievous chastisement. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and perform the صالحات, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. And they have forgiveness and a great reward. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. And here we talked about التزيين. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ, right? What about the ones or the one زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ, that his actions, the evil of their actions, was زُيِّن, was made beautiful or was adorned. فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا, then he saw it as good. And that's the whole thing. So that's why our dua, we say, أُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعًا وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا. We need to see the haqq as it truly is. Because if we mistake the haqq for the batil, then we don't see the haqq, then we won't see the truth, and we won't see the real. So we might have this tazyeen, su'u a'malina, this adorning and beautification of the evil of our acts. We don't see it as evil. فَنَرَاهُ حَسَنًا, and then we see it as good. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides whom He pleases, or Allah finds astray, or finds those misguided whom He pleases, and He guides whom He pleases. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ. Now the khitab back to the Prophet ﷺ, right? Because it's second person singular. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ. So don't let yourself go عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَات. Literally, don't grieve over them, because it's not in your hands. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُصَيْتِر. Right? The Quran reminds the Prophet ﷺ. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِير. You are a warner. Right? أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهِ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Can you compel the people that until they're believers? So many reminders. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide even the ones that you love, like Abu Talib. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَات. Don't grieve over them. Don't have حَسَرَات. So this shows you the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. Even though they fought him and they tried to humiliate him and they hurt him and they, you know, fought military battles against him, and he had to leave Mecca and migrate to Medina. Despite all of that, he wanted them to be guided. And when he was given the choice of the two mountains of Mecca falling upon them, Al-Akhbashayni, he said, أَرْجُوا أَنْ يَكُونَ نَخْرُجْ مِنْ أَصْلَبِهِمْ مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. I am hopeful that from their progeny will be those who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not disappoint his hope, because it was as he said. Within a generation, the whole Arabian Peninsula was Muslim. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. For Allah is well acquainted with what they do. Allah is well acquainted with what they do. ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ فَتُثِيرُ سَحَابًا فَسُقْنَاهُ إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا كَذَلِكَ النُّشُورُ مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ والذين يمكرون السيئات لهم عذاب شديد ومكر أولئك هو يبور. والله الذي أرسل الرياح. Now here is a reminder who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He is the one that sent الرياح, the winds. And as a note, most of the time, when winds is mentioned in the plural in the Quran, الرياح, then it's indicating رياح الرحمة, winds of mercy that pollinate and carry the seeds of pollination to different trees and things like that. And when it's in singular, الريح, usually it's a wind of, you know, أرسلنا عليهم الريح, right? قوم عاد, we sent on them the hurricane or the storm. In singular, then it's indicating a wind of punishment or chastisement. والله الذي أرسل الرياح فتثير سحابا. Right? So it instigates the sahab, the clouds, فَسُقْنَاهُ إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. Right? And then it goes to where it's supposed to go, these clouds, إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ, to a place that was dead, or a town that was dead. In other words, dead, nothing's growing on it. فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And then we give life to the land after it was barren, after there was nothing on it. And there is some sort of ajaz ilmi also in this verse, something of, you know, the wonders of the natural world that they didn't know at the time, that the winds do carry these pollinating seeds from one place to the next. And that here is mentioned in the Quran quite vividly. وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ فَتُثِيرُ سَحَابًا. So the clouds move. فَسُقْنَاهُ إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And then the earth comes back to life. بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا, after it was barren. كذلك النشور. كذلك النشور يعني الحشر. So just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to something that was dead, كذلك النشور يعني البعث يعني القيامة الحشر. Same will happen to us. We are in our graves and we're buried and we're dead and nothing's happening. كذلك النشور. What is the difference for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? من كان يريد العزة فلله العزة جميعا. Whoever is desirous of the عزّة, then all of the عزّة is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this word عزّة is not easy to translate. It does come from the same word as عزيز. Sometimes it's translated as dignity. When someone is عزيز, they're dignified and you know they cannot be affected by the attempts of others to hurt them or to damage them. That's one meaning of عزيز. Sometimes عزيز means valuable or precious or unique or نادر الوجود or difficult. وما ذلك على الله بعزيز. That's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So various meanings to the word عزيز, but here من كان يريد العزة فلله العزة جميعا. Right? If you want to be that type of person who is يعني في مقام عالي, in a high مقام, in a high station and virtually impenetrable by those who try to hurt them, then that's for Allah. Seek it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't seek it on your own. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام. أعزنا الله بالإسلام. So we were nothing before, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this izzah by the virtue of Islam. أما قبل ذلك كنا أذلاء. Right? The ذليل is the opposite of the عزيز. The ذليل is the one who is down. And ذليل in the sense that he's been put down. They're unable to stop those who try to damage them or hurt them or harm them. إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب. الكلم جمع كلمات, كلمة أو الكلم الطيب. They said الكلم الطيب here is لا إله إلا الله. Or أعم من ذلك, or it's more general than that, could be سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. يعني الذكر. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. والعمل الصالح يرفعه. And the good deeds, he raises them. So what does that mean, the good deeds, he raises them? One meaning that the ulama of tazkiyah often talk about is that your good deeds, if they are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be raised, right? So it's kind of like recorded in your sahifa. It's recorded in your, you know, your log of good deeds. This is the idea of your good deeds being raised. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned this, for example, when he was asked why does he fast on Monday. He said this is the day that the deeds are being raised. So there's indication in some of the hadith, certain days of the week or in certain days of the year, like the 15th of Sha'ban, when things are set for the year after, that things are being raised. في عالم الملكوت والعمل الصالح يرفعه. So then a sign of acceptance then, that, or an indication of acceptance of the deed being accepted, that's raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said that translates into how you see it, أن يغيب عنك عملك, that you stop having a recollection of your good deeds because it's been raised. So when something is raised, it also means it's been taken away. So it's no longer existing down here. So if you're still enamored with your good deeds and thinking about the attribution of these good deeds to yourself, then it hasn't been raised because it's still busy down here on earth with it. And one of the signs of acceptance is that you don't even recall the good deed that you did. You know, you did something nice for someone last week or the week before, and they kind of remind you, you did this and this. So, oh, okay, I don't remember, but if you say so, because the good deeds are raised. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ وَالَّذِينَ يَمْكُرُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَكْرُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُوَ يَبُورٌ وَالَّذِينَ يَمْكُرُونَ. So, makr or yamkurun doesn't really take a direct object. Yani the ones who plan and deceive and delude, all of these are the meanings of makr. السيئات يعني يمكرون الماكرات السيئات. They plot and plan in a way that is evil. لهم عذاب شديد. They have a great chastisement. ومكر أولئك هو يبور. And that which they are planning and that which are and seeking to do of harm to the Prophet ﷺ or to the believers, هو يبور. هو يبور. هو هالك. يهلك. يعني it's something that is going to be destroyed and whatever their plot and machination is, it's not going to come to fruition. So we will stop here, inshallah, from these verses, blessed verses of Surah Fatir. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in these last 10 days of Ramadan, and that He makes us from Utaqa هذا الشهر الكريم, from those who have been emancipated from the hellfire in this blessed month, the month that Futihat Abwab al-Jannah, the doors of paradise are open, and the doors of the Niran are closed. وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the shayateen are in chains, so we should take advantage of this blessed opportunity to gain closer to our Creator, inshallah, by His will and by His favor and by His blessing. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكُ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.